I'm Paul Kennedy, and this is Ideas. Tonight, a literary atlas of Canada. Noah Richler's series on how landscape has shaped Canadian writing and storytelling. In St. John's, Newfoundland, a new generation of writers has been producing some of the liveliest fiction in Canada. Episode 8 is called Making Things Up.
All right. So we're outside the ship in here on Duckworth Street. I'm going to read you the first part of my book, Gabriel English. Gabe was the protagonist in a book of stories I wrote entitled One Last Good Look. Let me tell you about Gabriel English. He's a writer. He's supposed to be writing a novel. Instead, he writes a collection of daily vignettes over a full calendar year. Gabriel discusses his friends, confesses his failings, copies overheard drunken conversations, declares his dreams, reports gossip, and charts the ebb and flow of his love affair with the people and geography of Newfoundland, in particular, the port city of St. John's. This All Happened is a literary tableau of Newfoundland life, for better or for worse, seen from within. Caveat: this is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to people living or dead is intentional and encouraged. Fictional characters and experience come to life when we compare them with the people and places we know. New experience is always a comparison to the known.
St. John's, March 2004.
Let's come in.
My pleasure.
And I'm your old buddy.
How are you?
Good to see you. I'm great.
The novelist Michael Winter, the author of This All Happened, and more recently, The Big Why, is one of a generation of young writers from Newfoundland that has enjoyed remarkable success in recent years. Lisa Moore, the author of Degrees of Nakedness, Open, and the soon-to-be-published novel Alligator, is another. Michael Crummy, the author of Hard Light and River Thieves, is a third. His new novel, The Wreckage, is due out later in the summer. They know each other, this lot, and in keeping with the island's old traditions, trade verse and anecdote and songs at kitchen parties called at the drop of a hat, or, more likely, a pub's last orders. Some of these writers belong to an informal writers' collective called Burning Rock. The writer's life is essentially private, so workshopping pages isn't the natural choice of all novelists. Michael Crummy is not a member, but the intimacy and close quarters of St. John's, Newfoundland, has served all these writers well. And it's made them intensely interested in the form. Read This All Happened, and one of the novel's great entertainments is the protagonist Gabriel English's conversations about writing with his friend Maisie. It's a relationship that competes in its intensity with Gabriel's love for Lydia, an affection that has seen simpler days. Winter, Moore, and Crummy's generation is the first in Newfoundland that's relatively unencumbered by the politics and lingering controversy of the referendum of 1948 that allowed Joey Smallwood to lead the former colony into Confederation a year later. They're a confident bunch, these writers, able to shop and choose their influences from the island's proud and reasserted cultural history, but also from elsewhere. Writing's an adventure for them, steeped in both revolution and tradition. Their intimacy, their being such good pals, and their interest in the process of writing is what prompted me to gather a bunch of them together in St. John's Ship Inn to discuss, most of all, the ethics of making things up. Because when you are such good friends, and the immediate territory you draw your material from is so small, then it's quite likely interaction with the ones you love will sow the seeds of your stories. As if your short story writing or filmmaking pal hasn't used the same material already. That's the way writers work, I'm afraid, and it's why, in the prologue of This All Happened, Michael Winter threw down the gauntlet. It's a young man's book, and a very funny one, but the point Winter's making is serious. When is it fair for an author to appropriate experience that belongs to someone else? Perhaps to a close friend, a relative, or a lover? Fiction isn't memory, but does that excuse it? These are issues the writer perennially faces. The disadvantage is that in Newfoundland, where even a walk to the bar can be a revealing public journey, you can't hide from your sources the way most writers do. Eventually, you'll run into Maisie, Lydia, Wilf, and Max, or at least the real-life characters who bear more than a passing resemblance to them. Be prepared.
Well done, Jack.
Which one are you as Max?
I'm Max.
I thought you were Jack, but you're Max. And you're meant to be Max, too.
We're both Max. Max is a carpenter.
Yeah, and it's not just us.
And no, and it's not just us.
Yeah.
You guys were part of the Burning Rock at one point.
Yeah, still technically are, but we're definitely here at the moment. When's the last time you had a meeting?
Friday.
Yeah, it was the Friday one.
So you kind of have a fair understanding of what goes into a writer making things up.
Yeah, I'd say.
There's a lot of things there that are verbatim. They're absolutely, totally verbatim, right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Michael does brilliantly in that book, is that he puts in so many of the St. John's characters and the St. John's experiences, and never is anyone ever felt kind of like the next time I see him. And I think that's pretty much universally felt.
But it's funny, I wasn't expecting it to be a documentary, but when I asked you whether or not you thought it was a good record of your time together or a group of friends, one of the things I believe is that novels arrive at a kind of poetic version of the truth.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be true.
No.
They can arrive at a picture that is actually quite real.
Yeah, I felt there were lots of lovely moments, especially from gatherings. You know, the party scenes were very funny and well-observed, you know, some of the things that people said and did. I mean, there's a great Mike Jones scene. I don't know which character says it in the book, but there's certain times when you go into the ship and you walk from the door to the bar, and it's really difficult to do because you're not sure who's
there. Longest walk in the world.
Longest walk in the world, yeah.
Mike Jones. More than likely, Mike Jones line.
Yeah.
From Michael Winters, This All Happened.
Wolf walks into the ship looking uncomfortable. Then he sees us and relaxes. He's in a suit he wants to wear in Lydia's film. He looks like a beetle in it. Wolf, at the age of 52, has become a promising actor. That word, promising. Wolf buys a pint and sits with us and sighs with relief. Wolf, when you open up the ship inn door, all by yourself, you've walked downtown alone. You don't want to be alone. You feel like a dog, and you want a bit of company. Well, you open up that door, and you steel yourself. It's got to be all one motion, no hesitations. Open the door and stride in, but a slow stride, maximum exposure. And you make your way to the bar. And all the way there, you keep your eyes on the bottles and the mirrors, and you're hoping. You're hoping there's someone in there who knows you. You hope you don't make it to the bar before someone waves you over, grasps your arm and says, "Hey, Wolf, how's it going?" "Yes, sir. That walk to the bar is the loneliest walk in the world."
Michael Winter.
This is a caveat. I'll read it nice and slow.
Okay.
And this is a work of fiction.
What does caveat mean again?
Beware. Any resemblance to people living or dead is intentional and encouraged.
Okay, that's fair.
Need some more.
What's wrong with that?
That's tongue-in-cheek.
She's saying this thing.
Yes, because every book has the opposite, right?
Yeah, I know.
Instead of a disclaimer, it's more of an acclaim.
So you don't really mean that...
You're going to find these people in the book.
You're making fun of people who think it would be true.
I'm making fun of people who think they can write a book and then say, oh, but I made it all up.
What I thought was that you were making fun of people who think that people in a book are real. I didn't realize you were making fun of people who think that people in a book aren't real.
Yes.
You can make everything up.
Yes.
So you mean it.
But you saw it on the record.
Mark Ferguson.
You got a record saying that they weren't real people. You just said a minute ago, in fact, that they were comparisons to not
That's
real.
True. Right, because it's on the line, actually. I haven't finished my category. I'll just continue from the word encourage. Fictional characters and experience come to life when we compare them with the people and places we know. New experience is always a comparison to the known. Come on, you gotta give me that.
That's true.
New experience? New experience. What is that?
But the book was a diary, wasn't that? It started out as a diary.
Yes. I said, look, I've sent John Cabot now, when he came across over the water, he in 1497, was it?
He wrote a diary.
And I thought, well, here I am 500 years later, and I will map the emotional terrain of the province.
Clara Wiltshire.
So originally you were committed to making it a real journal, correct?
Yes, yeah. And then I had the 365 days, I had, 300 characters, and nothing happened, and it was really, really boring.
You should have just gone with that.
I'm wondering how much your preoccupation with how you make the jump from raw material to written material has to do with the nature of the town you're working in. I certainly haven't met anyone yet who doesn't know what I'm doing here.
Well, I've never been shushed on a public street before, except here in St. John's. Don't say anything, because, you know.
But you're walking up the hill from downtown.
Yeah.
You know, if you're telling a story, you start lowering your voice, and you know, people in those third floor windows.
Yeah. If it's the summertime.
Michael Crummy.
I was approached by a